Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of potential passages from all four of the books chosen for 2021's NICE project.
Alice, I'd like to dive into A Wrinkle in Time.
And me it was
written too. It's written in 1962 by Madeline L'Engle. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've both highlighted some passages that we really enjoyed. Do you want to start with some of yours?
Sure. This has been one of my favorite books since my grandmother sent it to me, probably when I was 6 or 7. And I was born in 63. So I have one of the copies that had the cover with the Newbery Award on it and all that. And it's just, I love this book. And when I was really young, I didn't understand most of it because science, whoosh, right over my head, you know. But I just loved the fantasy aspects of it and the growth of, you know, the expressions of childhood and the child's perspectives in this book are really very relatable. You know, and as I've gotten older, I appreciate, you know, the adult perspectives, interacting with the children's perspectives. I just love the whole thing. So this has been a longtime favorite book of mine. It was very hard for me to select just a few passages because I could probably, you know, put a post-it note on almost every page. But my first quote is in chapter 3, and one of the children says, "Do you think things always have an explanation?" "Yes, I believe they do. But I think that with our human limitations, we're not always able to understand the explanations. But you see, Meg, just because we don't understand doesn't mean that the explanation doesn't exist." Ooh. That's got to be one of those. It's written in two voices, the voice of a child, the voice of an adult. But that is that not addressing a quintessential human question? I mean, that's a philosophical mm-hmm. question right there. So I just love that one. What do you think about that one?
Yes, I am intrigued by the possibilities of this one. And I think it captures something about Madeline L'Engle's writing is that dimension of spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so that really helps capture that as an essence of the book as a whole.
Right. The other thing I love about it is the dialogue is between, again, a child and an adult, but the adult isn't talking down to the child. Mm-mm. This is just clear, plain English, right? It's just, they're just talking, they're respecting that child as a cognitive thinker, you know, what's the word when you evaluate stuff?
Analytical?
Critical thinker. They're addressing my C words again, stroke survivor. I had the C, came up with cognitive, meant critical, critical thinker. So they're addressing this child as a critical thinker. And I feel like that's, you know, an important thing to emphasize about this book. There isn't a lot of condescension in the dialogue between adults and children in this book. I mean, that to me really what struck a chord when I was a child, you know. So, okay. My second quote that I like a lot. "And this feeling of moving with the earth was somewhat like the feeling of being in the ocean, out in the ocean beyond the rising and falling of the breakers, lying on the moving water, pulsing gently with the swells, and feeling the gentle, inexorable tug of the moon." Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I just love that. First of all, the visuals, the sensations. Mm-hmm. It's almost, and forgive me, I know this is a young adult book, but it's almost sexy. I mean, there's just something about this, you just get literally swept away like you're floating in the ocean and the waves and the moon. And oh, it's just wonderful, right? I just love it. What do you think?
Highlight that one. Because I also see a lot of music potential in that.
Yes. One. And compared to the first quote, this mm-hmm. this is much richer in terms of artistic inspiration potential. I feel mm-hmm. like this one is like, woo, yeah, we could do a lot with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the third one, I have so many. The third one, what could there be about a shadow that was so terrible that she knew that there had never been before or ever would be again anything that would chill her with a fear beyond the possibility of comfort?
Oh, I'm shivering.
I know. And I mean, that is childhood fear, that is adult fear, that is so relatable, that is the darkness, that is your 2 o'clock in the morning nightmare, I mean, can't sleep nightmare, I mean, you know, it's just, everything about this is just like, it's a perfect, it's written as a question, it ends with a question mark, and it's a perfect statement on this feeling when you feel this kind of fear. I think it's amazing. Thoughts?
Yeah, what I like about this one is that one of the things that stuck out to me first time that I read the book was that feeling of it, kind of the villain. Mm-hmm. And just, I thought that Lingual did a really good job of creating that feeling of horror,
yeah,
that your mind just even tried to grasp. And I feel like that helps to capture that feeling.
Yeah, this is the child's boogeyman. This is the teenager's, what is that thing when you stand in front of the mirror and you say the Mary, Mary, whatever, you know, and the evil thing in the mirror is supposed to come get you. This is the adult purgatory, hell, Satan, you know, in a religious context, you know, organized religions train you that there's that evil presence, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is throughout your life. This could be those kind of fears. This could be the fear of, you know, leaving a violent relationship, but what's worse? What could be out there? You're so afraid at that point that even though you know getting out of it takes you to a place of safety, mm-hmm. it's still scary as heck. And what could be scarier than the unknown, right? And so anytime you're starting something you've never, or you're entering into something you haven't done before, there is an element of this even to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I remember feeling this way. I didn't think of this quote at the time, but you know, because we're friends, both my parents have passed away. And when my father had his last and final, his second and final stroke and was on life support, that this was exactly how I felt, you know, knowing that it was literally, I mean, he was gone already. And my mom just had to get to the point where she was able to tell them to, you know, take him off life support. But this feeling was so much, that quote is really describes that feeling of what is my world without my father in it. Mm-hmm. And then when my mother was dying, and that took months and it was horrible, it was that echoed again, that fear of loss and who are mm-hmm. you after that, you know. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is very powerful passage personally. You know, like, how do you say that in anthropological context, it would be like the universal, you know, down to the personal, you know, it's that funnel of it crosses everything. It is really powerful.
Well, then maybe we need to make this, I'm kind of highlighting as mm-hmm. we go. I had put that one as the second tier. Maybe that needs to be a first tier quote.
Well, I feel like it, from artist inspiration part, that artists of all genres love to tackle the darkness, you know, in humanity. So I feel like this would be, it could be top tier. Let's leave it there for now. We'll, you know, we'll see.
John Hinton would participate if we had that.
I know. Yeah, I can think of some individual people. I'm like, ooh, yeah, this might inspire them to come and paint a dark painting or something, or write a dark poem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. okay. This one is a little more general, but I love the quote. I had to include it, even though it may not be great for the inspirational part for creativity. "We do not know what things look like, as you say," the beast said. "We know what things are like. It must be a very limiting thing, this seeing." So this is, I love this quote because it really spells out, you know, that old philosophical, you know, it's like Plato's cave. What you see and what is reality, two different things, you know. So I mean, there's so much you could go really deep with this. Mm-hmm. And it may not on the surface seem really like a good quote for the project in terms of creative inspiration, but in terms of discussion that might lead to creative inspiration, I think this one is, what do you call that when something sneaks in, you know, it's like, this is a sneaky one, it could mm-hmm. be really good. So what do you think about this quote?
Yeah, I think the philosophy would be fascinating to delve into. It's kind of a debate between relative truth and absolute truth.
Exactly. Which, wow. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? Ha, huh, nice if we could answer that question for all of humanity. Yeah, right. Okay. So, all right. You do decide you what you want to highlight that one as. You just do, you know, you do your thing and I'll read the next one. Okay. The next quote, from chapter 11, we look not at the things which are what you would call seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's in the same conversation as a previous quote, which is probably very obvious. I liked both of these so much that I wanted, you know, they say similar things. And so I thought it'd be nice to kind of have the choice between the two. Mm-hmm. The first one has the same philosophical questions are there, right? Yes. The first one is more emphasizing, it must be very limiting, this thing you call seeing, right? And the second one is more explanatory. It gives us a little bit more insight and depth. So I like them both, but again, liking a quote and knowing that it's good for the project are two mm-hmm. different things. So what do you think about that one?
The second one, that really sounds biblical. Mm-hmm. A matter of fact, I think that it is kind of a rewriting of a certain passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. I do like it. I think what is more accessible is the first.
Okay. All right. Well, this is third tier then, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of potential passages from A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.